Welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring chief information security officers and anyone interested in cybersecurity. My name is Richard Herron. I am the host of the Australian CISO and proud to think there are listeners in 38 countries of the world. All opinions you hear on this podcast are my own or those of the people being interviewed. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the companies that I or the interviewees are employed by. The podcast is recorded with Audacity using a Rode Podcaster microphone and hosted on Podomatic. Hi everyone and welcome to episode 40 of the Australian CISO podcast. If you don't know who you're listening to, my name is Richard and I produce this podcast on a weekly basis. We haven't had a security out and about podcast episode for a while, which I call SOAP. So SOAP stands for Security Out and About Podcast. And that's just because of the number of interviews we've done since B-Sides Melbourne 2023. So, in out and about news, I attended a one-day conference called Security Edge run by Adapt. There were certainly a lot of attendees and a number of vendors present. As usual, I bumped into people I knew, such as Jason Morell, Mitra Mina, Indika Wimmel-Lasiri, and Kendall Watt from Vendorland. Abnormal security, if you really want to know. And to my surprise, some listeners of the Australian CISO podcast came up to me to say hello. Two in particular were Tim Surratt and Winston Fernando. Hello to both of you, and apologies if I've pronounced your names incorrectly. Hi also to Jessica Gomes from Grant Thornton, who I did see but didn't have a chance to say hi. Let me tell you about some of the talks at Adapt. And before I do that, many thanks to Tenor Larson, who is the director from Adapt, who invited me to the one-day event. We had Matt Boone from Adapt providing insights from CIO, CFO, CDO, and security executive surveys. Now, I found this talk to be one of the most insightful talks during the Adapt Security Edge get-together, and so much kudos to Adapt for obtaining this information. So insightful that I'll spend a bit of time on Adapt's findings now, and again, thanks so much to Matt Boone from Adapt for sharing these. The top 10 business priorities of CISOs in 2023. By an absolute mile, the first priority for CISOs was building a secure and trusted organisation. That's probably no surprise there. Number two was ensuring compliance and governance. Number three, improving resilience against operational and market-based risks. Number four, improving operational effectiveness. Number five, improving customer experience. And the last five were attracting and retaining talent, optimizing operational costs, creating a data-driven organization, evolving the digital workplace, and business process change and optimization through digitization. His next slide was business inhibitors to security initiatives. And in 2023, they were lack of budget allocation, which I think we could all agree to, lack of in-house security skills, too many manual processes, which interestingly was the top inhibitor last year in 2022. Number four was organisational culture and politics, and boy, that does play a huge impact to security initiatives. Unfortunately, it's not easy to cut through the politics or change certain behaviours that have been accepted over time. Again, that was organisational culture and politics. And the fifth business inhibitor to security initiatives was deemed as rapidly evolving security threats. He then discussed security budgets split across the following areas, with infrastructure protection and end-user services being the two major spends on security budgets. These were then followed by spend on compliance and regulation data protection, which is really becoming an increasingly big topic lately, that data protection, application protection, enterprise risk management, and awareness and training. Now, what's really interesting about that security budget split across those areas is that awareness and training only accounted for 7% of the budget. Now, considering that at least 90% of security incidents are due to the human element, why are we only spending 7% of the budget on awareness and training? I think we all need to have a good look at ourselves and look at those figures and have a rethink about where we are allocating money. Yet another insightful slide Matt Boone from Adapt showed us was the technical inhibitors to security initiatives, and wouldn't you know it, legacy systems and processes has been the one inhibitor, not just in 2023, but also in 2022. So I'll say that again, legacy systems and processes has been the number one inhibitor over the last 2 years. Then followed the technology stack complexity, then the lack of data ownership policies, and then identity and access management tools and policies. I'm noticing a lot of attention on identity and access management over last year as well. And last but not least was disparate security tools. And just when you thought you'd probably be at the end of the stats, Matt the Magician pulls out some more stats out of his hat. How concerned are you with each of the following security threats or issues? So number one, data security. Number two, phishing attacks and social engineering leakage. Number three, ransomware. Number four, identity theft and ID issues. Number five, cloud security. And six, third-party security risks. I've got to say, Adapt have really done their research well, because all I've heard or seen in the last 6 months at work or from security associates is data security, phishing, ransomware, identity theft, cloud security, and third-party security risks. Adapt, I think you've hit the nail on the head with respect to security threats or issues. The three main security initiatives planned for the next 18 months appear to be data-based initiatives, and that gets a big tick from me. Identity and access management, from what I've experienced over the last 20 years, it's really hard to get identity and access management done right. But if you do get it right, big, big, big applause to you. And the third main security initiative planned for the next 18 months for most of the companies are a SIEM and associated security operations center. I hope you've already got a SIEM and a SOC in place. I'll share with you two more slides from Matt Boone's great presentation. The first is effective technologies in combating threats. And interestingly enough, these top two are the same in 2022 and this year, 2023. So in 2023, the effective technologies in combating threats are 2FA/multi-factor authentication tools, followed by endpoint security tools, encryption, antivirus, anti-malware, vulnerability scanners, patch management, network infrastructure, integrated SIEM tool, IAM tools, and intelligence and threat sharing. Would have hoped patching was a bit higher up on the list, but that's okay. And last but by no means least, the CISO investment priorities in 2023. Numero uno, cybersecurity awareness training. And as I stated previously, that is no surprise given that humans are involved in about 90% of the security incidents. The other CISO investment priorities this year are privileged access management, penetration testing, data loss prevention, third-party risk management, network segmentation, incident response, security dashboards, staff upskilling and training, and governance, risk, and compliance initiatives. I suppose it's great to have these investment priorities, but do you actually have the money to spend on these initiatives? And do you have the personnel to help you implement these initiatives and then monitor the various screens that some of these initiatives will produce? Personally, if I had the money, I'd be putting some money into cybersecurity awareness training, definitely penetration testing, some basic data loss protection, i.e. just seeing if anyone's exfiltrating large amounts of data. What else? Training staff on incident response, so you'll know what to do when you do have an incident. And related to awareness, some staff upskilling and training I think would be more than useful. You might have a different perspective than I do. Okay, so that completes the rather lengthy discussion about Matt Boone from Adapt's presentation, but I really wanted to spend time on it because those stats personally I find are really interesting, and I hope you found them interesting as well. Now, like all conferences, not every presentation will necessarily be great, and sometimes you'll walk away knowing that perhaps only one presentation was really good. So for me, if I had to pick one presentation, it was definitely Matt Boone's one from Adapt and his statistics for CISOs. Next presentation was a panel discussion with Jason Morrell and Anna-Frid Bennett, observations where cyber is not getting taught in schools. In the old days, we're all subject to the slip, slop, slap campaign. There is nothing now like that that relates to security. Interestingly enough, it was mentioned that the Lapsus group were just two kids who caused havoc with the Uber breach. How good would it be to teach those two kids? Maybe they can use their brilliance for good and not evil. Jason Morrell gave us a great analogy where he said there were so many lessons learnt from fires and floods, and those lessons get shared widely. When it comes to cyber incidents, though, it seems that no one wants to share their lessons learnt. The actual topic of the panel was, how will we become the world's most secure country by 2030? Despite the discussion, and this may sound quite negative, I don't think Australia will be the world's most cybersecurity secure country by 2030, but one can only hope and keep doing their best. At lunch, I was lucky to be invited to a know-before get-together, talking all things phishing. At these get-togethers, there's always a diverse group of people with different experiences and viewpoints. It is always worth hearing them all, because you may just hear something that you've never considered. Near the end, I mentioned what I was seeing, and that was staff are now too afraid to click on any links. Not just the suspect-looking ones, but on any links. They're getting very, very paranoid. So personally, I'm just going to have to consider how I'm going to tackle this problem for my company. In the afternoon, I interviewed Jason Morrell. I'll play that interview sometime in the next few weeks on this podcast. That's another one of those long interviews that'll have to be split over two different episodes. But Jason Morrell is certainly someone who is proof that you can bounce from industry to industry and ultimately into cyber. In the afternoon, I listened to a discussion on cyber leadership. One of the points I walked away thinking about was that I don't think we need to tell everyone how award-winning we are. Just lead by example is good enough. And just on that point, a number of people have asked me, hey Richard, why don't you talk at cyber conferences very often anymore? My response is simple. My number one priority is to protect my company's corporate and customer information. Yes, I might try and speak at perhaps one conference per year in the future, but if you're speaking at more than, say, three conferences a year, you've really got to be asking yourself the question, am I doing these multiple talks to help people, or am I doing them to say, look at me, aren't I great, you need to nominate me for the next round of security awards. I'll let you decide upon that one. That was the Adapt Security Edge conference. I advise you to attend at least one in your lifetime if you can. Again, not every single presentation was award-winning. However, it doesn't matter what conference you go to, it's unlikely that every presentation will be fantastic. And sometimes what you don't deem is a great presentation, someone else will think is a great presentation. In other out-and-about news, I was lucky to attend a seminar by James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, probably about a month ago. If you haven't read the book previously, this was a great presentation about the micro changes you could make on a regular basis to ultimately make a major change in your life. For those of you who have read his book, it was pretty much a summary of his book, but also a great reminder of the main parts. All right, enough about out and abouts this week. There's been a lot of talk about the upcoming CyberCon 2023 conference coming up, which I typically call the AISA conference. AISA. This really is the annual get-together of security folk from Australia and overseas, and this year it is based in Melbourne again. If you can't attend, never fear, I'll do one or more podcast episodes on what I saw and heard from AISA. A number of listeners to this podcast have contacted me and said it'd be great to catch up, so I've given my phone number to a few of you to make contact during the conference. If you'd like to do that, more than happy to stop and chat and have a bit of a laugh. Well, folks, that was our Security Out and About podcast, certainly a different type of episode compared to the interviews I've been conducting lately. But given that AISA is on next week, I'm sure I'll do one or more interviews, so get ready for some more interviews over the next few weeks. And I think the interviews are probably more interesting than listening to me babble on about security topics, because you really get the opportunity to hear people from different diverse industries talk about their different and diverse views about security. Don't forget, I've set up a LinkedIn group called The Australian CISO. Who would have thought? And when time permits, I really do intend to put some ideas up there that'll help you do your job. One of the first bits of information I'm going to put up there are just 20 or so true or false type questions that you can use in a survey on your organisation. I did this recently in my workplace and some of the output is absolutely insightful. You'll just have to trust me on that one. Obviously, I'm not going to share with you all the answers I received. In fact, I'm not going to share with you any of the answers I received, but I'll certainly share with you the questions I asked. There's definitely no PII or corporate information within the questions. Oh, talking about surveys. I also put up a mini survey in the Australian SISO LinkedIn group where I asked people some questions about mental health. So I'll be having a look at those responses in the next week or so, and I'll try and report back a summary of findings soon. But with ASIC coming up, it might be a little bit difficult. Don't forget about the ASIC conference. Just be aware that those vendors can spot you from about 200 feet, so don't be surprised if they drag you into their lair to tell you how great their solution is and how they can really help you with all the problems you solve. Today is also the yes or no referendum vote in Australia. I hope it goes the way you want it to go. Well, it really is time to call it a day. Hope you've all had a good weekend. There is another popular public holiday coming up, or at least in Victoria anyway. On the first Tuesday of November, it's Melbourne Cup Day, so we get a day off for a horse race. Who would have thought? People overseas must think we're crazy. Personally, I can't wait for that one. Between now and Christmas, I'll be going on a trip or two interstate to say hi to our customers. Then, before you know it, it'll be the Christmas break. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to catching up with some of you at ASA, and certainly looking forward to catching up with you all next weekend when I hopefully tell you all about ASA's CyberCon 2023. Until then, while I'm at it, happy birthday to two people I know whose birthday is tomorrow on Sunday. Definitely signing off now. It's bye from me. See ya.